A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on into the show. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Thanks for being with us Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on KSL News Radio. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, always to my right. Scott, did you have a good break? It's over with. So stop it. Yes. It's over with.
Let's get back to work.
We're just going right back to it. We have no time
actually,
to mess around with it.
Actually, the break was amazing.
It is good. But the catch 22 on that was you got some time off. Blah blah blah. But we didn't get to talk about the NFC and AFC championship games right when they happened, and we have so much to get to. And that even
it's
has
almost
to wait.
Like they're in old news.
I know, yeah. But even that has to
Tuesday.
Wait. Even that has to wait now because the Utah Jazz are now 30 wins into this season. And they're humming, and Mike Conley's back, but what's the best way to use Mike Conley? It's all part of our 705 cut here.
The cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
He's back into it with 15 minutes against the Sacramento Kings, and that went on Saturday. And then last night, the Jazz. This was impressive to me. Because this entire win streak and everything, Scott, they had beaten the Clippers, but that wasn't that important to a lot of folks. They played so many sub-500 teams that when the Clippers or when the Pacers came into town and a good team in the East, they come in and the Jazz absolutely stick it to them last night.
What do you mean people didn't like that?
I didn't say they didn't like the win streak.
They didn't like winning against the Clippers?
People who don't. No, the Clippers were fine. That was the only one, though. Everything else was, yeah, you're on this win streak and you won. You know, 17 out of 18 because
okay. Well, how about
playing
a year
these garbage
ago when you
teams.
Play Memphis and Dallas? And
I get
lose
it.
By 50.
I get it.
I'd much rather beat bad teams.
The Jazz are 30 wins now in the season, and they're tied again for that second spot in the West. They've got a couple of the teams they're sharing that with as well, but still, they are winning and they are winning big. Like last night, beating the Pacers at home in the fashion that they did. Donovan Mitchell was absolutely. Crucial in that fourth quarter, and he was awesome to watch, and Rudy's been on a tear, but it was all about getting Mike Conley back, and the question is how is Mike Conley going to be used going forward? How do you want to see him used going forward? And Quinn Snyder, the head coach, talked about that and how they're going to use different lineups with
I think,
Conley.
You know, for us, with different guys, with JC, with Mike coming back, you know, we're going to see some different lineups. And the key thing for that is, you know, whoever's on the floor, all five guys got to defend. And as they get more comfortable playing with each other, I think we'll continue to get even more efficient.
They talk about this rhythm thing. And I know this is – I don't know if this is – tell me if this is coach speak right here,
you know, Mike started to find a rhythm tonight, which was good to see. And some of those kind of run-stopping plays were some shots that he hit. But for the most part, I thought just defensively as a group – we were good.
And they've been so good without him that you wondered what was going to happen when he came back.
But when you're a really good player and you have an opportunity to take a step back and take a deep breath, it's almost like going into halftime and you come back and you just get a chance to kind of check yourself and just say, okay, wait a minute, you know, calm down, settle down, because certainly the first part of the season was kind of spotty and challenging and I think frustrating for everyone, but I have to go back a couple of years. So being able to step back first, being able to step back is a great thing to be able to do. yeah, you don't want to be injured, but all of a sudden he starts seeing things from a different perspective and not having the pressure, not that he doesn't handle pressure well, but you just get a different perspective, and it helps you when you come back into the game. That's one thing. But then you have – you go back 2 years ago, and this team was kind of in the similar situation. Donovan Mitchell was a rookie. Where is he? What does he look like? And there are a lot of new faces, and they're trying to put this team together. And it was post Gordon Hayward, and he was, you know, and the team was kind of like, ugh. And I think, even though Mark Eaton said it was 10 games, I think it takes more than just 10. I think it takes a good half of the season where you really start to feel each other out and get in that rhythm and get comfortable with everything that's going on and everything that's happening. You have to make decisions that are split second. You got to trust people are going to be where they're going to be, and reading body language and understanding the different offensive sets and the defensive changes and rotations and strategy that they put in every game. That just takes time for guys to build that confidence and be comfortable with each other. And this team, I just get a feel that they've gotten that. Now, maybe it's slightly inflated just because they've been playing bad teams, but maybe it's been good that they've been able to figure that out while they're playing bad teams to where they can now compete against these better teams in the West.
They're about 10 days ahead of schedule from their 30th win last year. Last year they got that 30th win February 1st of last year. And they were 30-23. And right now they're 30-13. I mean, they're 10 games ahead of where they were last year in terms of that win-loss. And more importantly, I think that it does make a difference to be at that top end of the Western Conference. You don't want to be having to climb yourself back in to a 4-5 to a 6-7, 4-5, type situation. You want to be battling for that second spot or maybe even that first spot, but give yourself a chance. It, by the end of the season, I mean, it's going to be, and like I said, it's going to be an absolute slog of a final couple of months, because the schedule does get harder. And with the schedule getting harder and Mike Conley returning, there's going to be a lot of people who look and go, yeah, but is this the best version of them? Or is Mike Conley is the best version of Mike Conley, would you be willing to pay $33 million a year, to have this guy basically be a really, really good sixth man? Rudy Gobert says you got to have Mike Conley on your team if you're going to win a championship.
You know, he competes on every play, and we need him. And it's simple. I keep repeating, if you want to go as far as you want to go, which is winning championship, he's a key piece of what we do.
Sorry, can you translate that for me?
Yeah, basically, Mike Conley's a key piece to everything if you're going to go win a championship.
Sure.
And I like the fact that the Jazz are talking about championships. And look, and I've said this on the show before, and I'm not the originalist in this thought. The Jazz were built to compete for the Western Conference title. And that's what they made these moves, not to just be, kind of moving up in the standings and get to the second round, but to compete to win a title. And you see how the West is right now. A lot of teams have a shot. It's not – no one's running away, but, the Jazz are only 4 games out of first place, and that's not a lot. I mean, the Lakers are 34 wins, the Jazz are 30 wins, and, yeah, it's, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I like the fact that they're talking about a championship, and if all of these players play at their best, wherever that might be
– sure.
You've got guys that legitimately can score 30 points a night, and it's not one. I mean, you have 3-4 guys on your team that can do that. And the guy who I'm just really excited about, I'm telling you, is Rudy Gobert.
Good has Rudy's offense been the last few games?
He's
taken
really,
over.
Yes.
You know what I saw last night? It was awesome to see in the game. It was about midway through the fourth quarter. Rudy comes in. It was before he came out for good, because they were ahead by so much. He gets the ball underneath the hoop, puts the ball on the ground, and he's about mid key, and he goes up and does a little sky hook. And I was like, hold on a minute. This is your shot. This is now your shot. When you have that wingspan and you're this far over everybody else, and it just swished right in. It wasn't like it banked in. It wasn't like it needed some help from the rim. It was like, obviously, he's been working on this. Obviously, it's been a big deal. He's 22 points over the last 6 games that he's averaging, and that's huge for him as a psyche thing, but it's also big for the Jazz. You have to have that guy scoring.
When you have guys like LeBron James or Anthony Davis, or maybe you have James Harden, they're kind of at their zenith. You don't see them just getting marketably better every year. with this young Jazz team, you see Donovan Mitchell taking a huge step forward. You see a guy like Royce O'Neal. I mean, Royce O'Neal is really stepped forward. You see,
is he worth $9 million a year?
Maybe he is. I don't know.
I think he is. He has been. He's got the best 3-point shooting percentage on the best shooting team in the league.
So what you see this team continuing to develop. You haven't seen the ceiling of any of these guys yet, and so you have to get excited. Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Rudy Gobert, and then you have these other solid veteran guys like Boyan, and you have Mike Connolly that are proven commodities. I don't know where the ceiling is for this team. I mean, really. I mean,
everybody's waiting for Mike Conley to prove it even more, though. I think we've seen it with Bojan Bogdanović where you go, he's scored 35 points a couple of times this year. He's been in the 30s a handful of times this year. He's been lights out from shooting. Everybody's waiting for a streak of games from Mike Conley where you go, this is why they paid the $30 million plus for this guy to come into Salt Lake and make that difference. We're going to take our first break here. When we come back, now we can talk some NFL. Since we have an NFL expert in the room, what is Patrick Mahomes doing for the game of football in the National Football League? And let's talk about those plays that were made by him. What are your thoughts on the 49ers being in the big game as well? So we have our Super Bowl set. We'll get your thoughts next on our Trash Talk segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. In a few minutes, KSL 5's Jeremiah Jensen is going to join us in the studio. And we'll likely... Well, it's a three-way discussion. I'm trying to put this well because we always end up kind of yelling at each other.
It's brawlish a little bit.
Yes. Speaking of brawl, I'm just going to let you know right now, Kansas and Kansas State, I haven't seen a brawl like this.
No, this is like the Knicks and whoever else.
So Kansas is winning this game. It's there. It's at Kansas's field house there. What's it called? It's like the whatever the field house is. It's got the Jayhawk in the middle of the court. End of the game. Kansas is up 81-59. It's 2 seconds left. The ball goes out of bounds on just kind of an innocuous, the Kansas State player going up for just to play hard by the end of the game. And it ends up being a brawl into the hoop. Somebody picks a chair up. It turns into WWE pretty dang quick. And it's going to be a lot of film to break down, Scott. Well, it's going to be a lot of.
Yeah, but normally in those situations, Alex, people don't like they fake punch, right?
These guys,
someone hold me back.
Right.
Because I'm not really.
But these were
swinging. Yes, this is and stomping on people when they're on the ground.
Yes, this is going to be one of those that you're going to have to go over the film 1,000 times and go, right here, he picked up, he swung his fist right here, this guy. You're going to see a lot of players suspended in this. You're going to see, I hope you see the schools come down hard on this and go, look, I know that basketball's big business here in the state of Kansas, but we're going to punish all you guys who are part of this because this cannot be a part of the game. Like, just you, this is Malice in the Palace type stuff. You didn't have like fans necessarily. The fans were a part of it not by choice. It bled into that first six rows.
The fans were trying to get out of the way.
Right. It went into that first six rows
like,
under the hoop.
Whoa, this is serious.
this is
way serious.
So anyway, that's one you got to go and find when you get home is that Kansas State brawl. And I don't know, you be the judge. Kick some kids out of school for that. Why not? We got to get to this next part of the show here. It's our Trash Talk segment here on KSL's Unrivaled, brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they make junk disappear. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Scott, Patrick Mahomes with maybe the most just an amazing play. And when I watched it happen in real time, we're watching it, and it was one of those hands on the head moment, like, are you kidding me?
Drops back. Has long and tried to make a diving tip, and Mahomes who tiptoes inside the 10. Still not down. Oh, what a run! Out of this world! Touchdown, Kansas City!
There were 10 seconds left in the second half. In the
21
second
seconds.
Quarter, 21 seconds left in the second quarter. It was a game-changing play, and it might have been just a game-changing play for the whole league.
So a year ago, I did a series of podcasts on Helmets Off about these moments that have defined generations in the NFL. So you think of the Immaculate Reception and how it changed the fortune of the Pittsburgh Steelers, or the catch with the 49ers. And you think of the Tuck rule where Tom with Brady Patriots, and here it looked like really the Raiders were a team that were going to kind of start a dynasty and go on a run of Super Bowls. And the minute I saw this play with Patrick Mahomes, because a year ago I said, I believe Patrick Mahomes is the next generation of the NFL football. He's a guy that will kind of carry the torch, and he'll do some spectacular things, because he had. I mean, just throwing the ball a year ago was phenomenal watching him play. But that play that he did was, to me, I think it was that ushering in a new generation of NFL football, and he's the guy carrying the torch. You think of the Kansas City Chiefs and how for 50 years they have just been in exile, and they've had really good teams, and they've had really good players, but they just couldn't find a way to get to that Super Bowl. And here is that guy that's kind of led them out of the darkness, like a lot of other players, Joe Montana and Tom Brady and some of these guys. And it just felt like it was that monumental moment for the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL. And I think if you're in the NFL as a person who runs the league, or if you're a fan of the NFL, I love watching Patrick Mahomes play. I really do. I mean, and for me, that's what I get excited about, is this great quarterback play, and to watch him do the things that he does. I mean, because that what he did defies like what you're supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to get out of bounds. You're supposed to conserve time. And he just instinctively goes.
That's the thing. In the NFL, the clock just goes.
Right. And he just said, no one cuts back to the middle. Like, it's a cardinal sin to cut back to the middle.
Here's how he explained it, because if you think he just kind of got lucky, this is a guy who's not only making that play and not only making an amazing play, he's doing it with a full head of exactly what is going on.
I broke it. I was thinking about just running out of bounds, and as I got to the sideline, I realized that I could cut up, and I was running down the sideline, and I knew we had two timeouts, so I was like, I might as well try to cut it back. And so I cut it back, and luckily I was able to hang on to the ball and get in the end zone.
Luckily, I was able to hang on to the ball.
He was,
and make the most amazing play. They're stripping at him. They're everything. I mean, the guys who couldn't keep him out of the end zone, nobody was going to keep him out of that end zone
but
at that point.
In past times, you think of some players who have fumbled as they're going in to score. It just felt like the football gods were on the side of the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid. And I think if there's a coach in the NFL who is so beloved and has been snake bitten so many times, I mean, the number of NFC championship games he's been to, and now he's finally, it's balancing itself out a little bit, and he's able to get back to a Super Bowl. And hearing Patrick Mahomes, because it's like, what do you mean? I just knew I could cut it up, because the guy was coming right at him.
Right.
And there was just this little, most quarterbacks don't think to have hesitation when you're running to the sideline, because you know people are going to rip your head off.
What other quarterbacks
you don't just stop and then kind of stop and start again.
He could at any point.
And it was a brilliant move.
I know. If any point in the play, he had gotten out of the pocket, he's about to run toward the sideline, and he runs out of bounds at any point, you would have not said a thing about it. You would have said, nice play.
Great.
Picked up the first down, got the first down, nice play.
Field goal.
If he would have got past the first down marker, slid, and then got up and clocked it, you would have gone, nice play.
He'd have to
call timeout or whatever. Yeah. You go, nice. Yeah. Okay, great. He's a heads-up play by the guy. Yeah. But he cut in, and everyone's looking at him going, okay, what's going on here? And he starts dragging people into the end zone. When you have these high numbers that are coming at you, you know, your 90s and your 95s, and a couple of linebackers coming at you trying to slap at the ball, he pushed his way into that end zone, and I just remember thinking, this is an insane play. And the idea of this guy being the future of the NFL, I'm telling you that the NFL needs Patrick Mahomes to win the Super Bowl to really, really make a difference, I think. I think for him to solidify that, and for him to and what the NFL needs the most is for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes to really take over whatever a dynasty was that the New England Patriots had. Because we love dynasties, even though we say we hate them. We want to see a team do really, really well. And that's that hopefully is the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not even a Chiefs fan.
When you have a quarterback who can play that intuitive and instinctive, a lot of it has to do with how well he's been coached and the freedom he's been given by Andy Reid, and that's something that's unusual in the NFL.
Let's take the break. We'll argue about it with Jeremiah Jensen next when he comes in the studio about the future of the NFL. Also, the Hall of Fame votes are in. Derek Jeter and Larry Walker are in, but somehow Jeremiah found a way to complain about it. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell.
That's selfish Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about now. And see, now with Jeremiah Jensen in the studio, we start arguing about the history of the game and everything and how Patrick Mahomes has changed the game of football. We've talked a little bit about what the Jazz lineup looks like. And let's start there, JJ, as we've got you here in studio and you're our TV colleague. And also, we just love to get you fired up somehow. So the Mahomes deal, the Mahomes play, to me, was such a huge play. And I'm watching and other people are tweeting it out like, that was the best play I've ever seen. And then Scott came in today and said that game, that play, did you say change?
I think it's one of those generational, like, defining moments.
It's like the catch.
Like the catch, yeah. Or the immaculate reception.
For Chiefs fans, sure. Yeah.
I think it might even be the NFL. Hmm? I mean, only time will tell. What they do moving forward,
yeah,
they'll point to that
moment.
If
they flop in the
and they'll
just
15 years from now, he's one of the all-time greats. You'll look back on that play, getting to the Super Bowl as a special moment, for sure.
You just see that the NFL has a history of having those moments, and there have been a lot of them, and they've defined generations.
Elway, the drive.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Is this the best version of the Super Bowl that we could have gotten with what the playoffs offered us?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the cream rose to the top. I think you got the Chiefs, who offensively are dynamite. And we were talking in the break, and I don't think their defense gets enough credit. Yeah, they gave up some points and fell behind a bit in some of these games, but I thought their defense, when they needed stops in the last two games in the playoffs, they got them.
It's been enough.
And with that offense,
but it's been enough.
You don't have to have the Chicago Bears 1985 defense when you got an offense like that.
There's something about that when Patrick Mahomes it's like the offensive line sets him up like they're all, hey, we'll flush you to the right, all right? And here's what's going to happen. And then you just unload that cannon of an arm. And there's like, normally I go, ooh, you know, like if a ball goes up in the air. But if he throws it, I'm like, ooh, like let's see where this thing ends up. And he rarely makes a downfield error.
No.
He either puts it right on the money or one of his guys goes up and makes a play.
He's
and it's
so accurate.
So fun to
He's
watch.
He's not wild and doesn't do any. It's not like Brett Favre out there just gunslinging. Like, he is really measured. He's very accurate. And he's really good at what he does. You don't see him make a lot of mistakes, a lot of bad plays. And he's patient, too. He showed that in that game where, okay, I'm waiting, and then he picks the right moments. And in that great run down the sideline, he hesitated for a moment. And guys had to stop for a second. And that gave him the time he needed to make that move and get into the end zone.
And that's an uncanny move. I mean,
yes.
Quarterback running to the sideline. And he does run, but he doesn't run out of like, I don't know what I'm doing. And
yeah,
I mean, he really
it's Russell
has,
Wilson kind of running.
He does. Yep. He has a great awareness of what's happening, and he's patient, and he'll select those times to beat you running. And that it's a deadly combination. And on top of that, and I mentioned it before the break, having a coach, like if I'm a quarterback, I want to play for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
Nobody else.
Absolutely.
I know there's some other good ones, but I mean, you have Andy Reid at his very best, and just getting that is like, oh my goodness, I would take that any day of the week. He understands how to get the very most out of a quarterback and really getting prepared and having play at a high, high level.
JJ, we kind of assume that we know, like, oh, we know what the demographics like here with people who cheer for NFL teams. They're either Broncos fans or 49er fans. We found out that it's
or
not
the Seahawks
real.
Fans.
Yeah, but
there's Cowboys fans. I mean, it's pretty mixed.
There's
we
Raiders
found that
fans.
That it's
sure.
much more mixed than we thought.
Yeah.
There's a Cardinal fan.
Just the one.
That's more than there is in Phoenix.
It's a player that's like living here during the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
just go to a Cardinals Cowboys game and see how many
Cardinals fans
show up.
But my question is, what's the best Super Bowl for Utahns? Like, Who does Utah want to see be the champion in the NFL?
With this
Super Bowl setup.
So if you're there's not a lot of Utes in this Super Bowl matchup. Jackson Barton is playing for the Chiefs, but he's probably going to be
Mitch
inactive.
Wisnowski.
Right.
Mitch Wisnowski, but he's a punter. But he's involved. I mean, he's a
good
name.
Point. And he's a punter.
He's the holder, too.
But if you're a BYU fan, it's
Thank
like
you.
Two of the great Cougars of the last decade.
Yes.
You've got Daniel Sorensen, who was – Dirty Dan was awesome,
yes. He's been awesome
in the playoffs.
Playoff.
Oh, just absolutely awesome. And then Fred Warner should have been in the Pro Bowl this year, in my opinion. So, if you're a local – if you love your local colleges and you watch, especially BYU fans.
Well, you have Andy Reid, too.
And Andy Reid. Who doesn't love Andy Reid?
Yeah.
I mean, who's not pulling for Andy Reid?
One of my favorite things that Andy Reid, we interviewed him on Cougar Sports Saturday years ago, and we saw the soundbite when we made it. We asked him, we said, hey, would you say you're listening to Cougar Sports Saturday? And he said it, and he was nice about it. And he's like, go Cougs, baby. Like that. And we asked him some question, Utah, and he goes, oh, I love Kyle Whittingham. He's awesome. But, deep down, he bleeds blue. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he'll tell you that, right? And, it's just Andy trash-talking from 1,000 miles away. Like,
I'm sure Kyle appreciates
most,
that.
Yes, the most, buttoned up, doesn't ever want to talk about that kind of thing ever. I'm going to just say right now, he bleeds blue. You know he's a Cougar through and through, don't you? I mean, in the end, he's only got his allegiance to one school, right? I love that Andy Reid, attitude because – And for BYU fans who have these ridiculous dreams of Andy Reid coming to coach at BYU at some point, it's never going to happen. But it's always fun to see him have that kind of success. So I think that I think fans of football cheer for the team that's going to put up a bunch of numbers. History tells us that if there's a lot of points scored and it's close, it ends up being a quote-unquote classic Super Bowl.
Unless you're a Chiefs fan or a 49ers fan, what do we want? We want a great game with a lot of scoring. That's decided in the last second.
But Sky, you said it too. You want a superstar.
I want
star power too.
You do. You don't.
Absolutely.
You don't want someone that you're going to forget in a year.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. You don't. I mean, I don't know that he's at that level because his play is not at an elite level yet.
Right.
And fans are finicky. Fans are snobbish. They want that great player and they want to cheer for him. And then later on down the road, they want to hate him. You cheer for a guy like Tom Brady when he's kind of emerging and he's just – and then later on it's like, well, I hate him.
He's just polarizing.
Yeah, he just wins too much. You know? And so you definitely have to have – the NFL wants that star power for sure.
JJ, some heartache that you want to let out there about – not necessarily heartache, but I guess any gripes, complaints about today's Hall of Fame votes with – with you've got the captain getting in, Derek Jeter, and I'm not a Yankee. And I think anybody who likes baseball goes, I'm not a Yankee fan. I mean, anybody who watches this game, they go, even if I'm not a Yankee fan, Derek Jeter represents kind of the best of what the sport represents and what it is, and loyalty and being a champion and being just an MVP. And yet he didn't get the unanimous vote into the Hall of Fame.
There's some Red Sox blog in Worcester that says, ain't giving Derek Jeter that unanimous vote there.
Hey, he's called up his buddies. He's like, hey, Fred, I didn't give Jeter the vote. He's 99.3% because of me. You thank me. Give me a pint at the pub tonight because that was not me. So I don't know why
all the Southies are loving it,
but that represents a bit of a flaw as to
how. No, it doesn't.
If it's
someone from Boston, good for them.
Look, the fact that Dale Murphy's not in the Hall of Fame tells you all you need to know about how lame the Hall of Fame selection process is in baseball. It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Dale Murphy is one of the all-time greats. And he was, for the decade of the 80s, one of the five best hitters in the 80s. And he's not in the Hall of Fame.
And
it doesn't make any sense.
And he did it without steroids.
And he did it clean. He did it before the baseball was juiced and before guys started taking steroids in an era where there wasn't a lot of home runs. It's just, why if Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer, why does it just doesn't make any sense. And some, like Larry Walker, like what changed in 10 years?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like Larry Walker hasn't done anything in the last 10 years to change his resume, but suddenly, you know what, all right. Larry, you're a Hall of Famer.
We like you.
You were a Hall of Famer 10 years ago then. What changed? It's stupid.
In the Skype call where he accepted where he talked about it, he was wearing a SpongeBob shirt.
I know.
And I thought
maybe that's why he had to wait 10 years. They're punishing him for his terrible wardrobe. Come on, Larry, class it up a little bit. You just made the Hall of Fame.
All right, Jeremiah Jensen, KSL 5 Television, here in studio with us tonight. Of course, Sports Beat at 10 o'clock. What do we have on tap here for us?
There was a massive brawl at a college basketball game.
Oh, we saw it up here. I thought it was like a replay of something that happened years ago or something. No, when was this?
It was real tonight. And it was spectacular.
It was.
And there's going to be a lot of kids in trouble.
Yes.
This is like the – it's so weird, too, to see the fans all trying to get out of the way. Like, don't touch me. Please don't touch
yeah.
me.
Yeah. It went into the crowd, guys. If you haven't seen it, I'll show you tonight on Sports Beat at 10 o'clock.
Thanks, JJ. Yep. Thanks for hanging out, man. Taking the break here. MVPs are next right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, and I'm Alex Keery. He is Scott Mitchell. As JJ walks out of the studio, well, I thought that was an inappropriate gesture on the way out.
It seemed a little dejected, didn't he? He's just kind of like, I have to go now? I have to go back to my job.
We have a fun time. We yell at each other about sports because we care. Okay?
That's
Mommy and Daddy are yelling about sports because we actually love each other very much. Okay?
I had a different reason, but okay. I'll go with that one. Because we care.
Arguing about sports. It's just, look, the good thing is about it is it's
for me, Alex, the yelling is
stakes are low.
I can't hear. What'd you say?
This is the place I get all the yelling out, so I don't actually have to yell at home. All right. Man, we've got a lot to talk about here. We've got just a few minutes to do it. JJ was talking about the fight that happened between Kansas State. I've watched more of this. And I cannot imagine. I mean, I could see a couple of these players being out for much more. I hope that if you're throwing punches and haymakers the way you did, there was stomping on a player while he was on the ground, kind of stuff in this big brawl that ended up happening at the end of the Kansas State game. Is it too much to kick a guy out for the rest of the season?
The reality of this, though, is this wasn't just one moment. This could have gone back maybe earlier in the game. It could have gone back earlier in the season.
Right.
There's a lot of talking.
It's Kansas State. And while right. Kansas State is never a big,
just,
like,
It just doesn't yeah, blow yeah, up
yeah.
in 1 second.
Yeah. I just, you know, I think there could be a couple guys in there you might not see the rest of the season. If college basketball was honest with itself and wanted to actually throw some punishments down and these schools wanted to be serious about it, I think the reality is, though, it's like, you know, these are big enough. Kansas is big enough of a school, they, you know, that they would probably just do some kind of a fake suspension for a couple of these guys for a minute and then be done with it. But this was barnyard brawl. And it's the kind of thing, too, where a coach gets in the middle and they don't stop. They push the coach on the ground and they keep going.
Right.
And that to me, I'm like, somebody's got to get taught a lesson here.
In basketball, the head coach never gets involved. It's always the young assistants. It's like,
could you see Coach K jumping in there?
Go take care of that right now. I don't want to.
You're about 4 years being removed from playing.
Yeah, I don't want to get involved in any of that.
You're still like a little bit strong.
Hard, I'm just telling you, though, it's hard sometimes when you have so much emotion going on and then it just kind of erupts. Oh, and we're actually watching it on
the monitor. We're watching it. I mean, you see how hard
the guy, when he
punches.
Fouled him and then he stands over him.
It looks weird, too, because it looks like they're on the same team, some of them, like, all fighting each other. But the stomping while you're on the ground and getting – I mean, they're six rows into behind the hoop. And, I mean, it just is absolutely ridiculous how hard the punches are that they're throwing. And I cannot imagine these games – and it's guys who aren't suited up. It's guys that are sitting out there probably with injuries and things like that. But throwing punches while they're on the ground.
I don't want to make light of it, but it is funny when a bunch of guys in suits are chasing all these guys in
and then some players going off and start getting into it with some of the fans off to the side. And, man, Bill Self is going to have to clean up this mess. This is the last thing he wants to deal with. And he has to do the post-game press conference and deal with all that. I don't envy him, but if Kansas is smart – they got to nip this thing in the bud and really suspend guys for significant amounts of time. You can't do this garbage. You're on TV, man. Everybody sees you. For that exact reason.
Yeah, but, you know, there's an internal part of it where coach goes, I like that my guys stood up for each other. I like that they. I'm just telling
come
you.
Come on. There's
what,
no
what
way.
What do you mean, come on?
Thing.
What do you think? I don't know this?
I like the fight. I like the fight that you guys had out there for each other.
I'm just telling that's you, stupid. They won't say it publicly, but behind closed doors.
He's not saying grow up. Look, this is going to affect our team. In the long run, we're missing three of our four best guys because you guys had to fight like babies.
Look, you said it was stupid. I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm just telling you what coaches say behind closed doors. They go, okay, I like that you guys got some spunk in you.
Yeah. All right. I love that there's a couple Kansas, some of the men's cheerleaders. And I started trying to get in there, trying to hold some guys back.
Yeah, right.
Hey, it's our Unrivaled MVPs. Let's get to it.
The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player.
According to Alex.
Uh-huh. According to Scott. Most valuable player.
Honorable mention, most valuable player, is the cameraman from ESPN getting in on that fight. I mean, he did his job, didn't he? A chair gets picked up. I mean, my goodness. But the guy, there's a couple of season ticket holders who are like,
Look
please.
At that chair.
Oh,
oof. That's not good.
It's bad. But the cameraman, you know where he was? 3.5 inches from those elbows of those guys throwing punches. He's like, look, I'm not going to lose my job. You guys might get suspended. I'm not.
I'm going to
catch all this. Yeah. So that's an honorable mention. Scott, you want to start things off with your MVP?
Yeah, I do. And I have to go with Patrick Mahomes. I'm just telling you, I know that it's maybe an obvious choice, but it's certainly a well-deserving one. And we've talked about him to some length on the show so far tonight. But he's a guy that from the very beginning has done things you go, that's unconventional. It breaks long-standing traditional rules. You don't throw across the field. You don't throw across your body. You don't throw late here. You don't do this. You don't scramble going down the field in a two-minute drill. Get out of bounds. Conserve time. I know he had two timeouts left, but still time is your enemy. And he just cuts against the grain in so many different ways. And to watch what he's made normal that was not even thought of or not even considered even remotely smart, and he does it not – every once in a while, but he does it just like it's a normal thing. And to see this Chiefs organization that struggled for years and to watch them down early a week ago and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, they're going to be out of this to the Texans, and then getting down early again this week to a team in the Titans that was a lot better than I think a lot of people realized. And it just didn't affect him. He just said, okay, you know, I'm going to take charge of this. I'm going to answer back. I'm going to be the solution. And he's just been an amazing solution and a fun player that'll be exciting to watch, hopefully, for years in the NFL. But it was just amazing this last week, getting the Chiefs to the Super Bowl.
I think it's cool, too. The Lamar Hunt Trophy is named for the owner of the Chiefs' dad. You know, like
Lamar Hunt.
Lamar Hunt is, I mean, and to have, like, you could imagine after 50 years, your team wins your dad's trophy. I mean, you see all these other years, other teams have been hoisting it up. You know, you have to watch all your rivals.
And it's cool
like that.
That it's named after your dad.
Yeah.
But it's just.
But it's also kind of a slap in the face because you don't get it for 50 years. You know, you're like, oh. But they get back after 50 years. That's pretty cool. Pretty remarkable to have that. And the Chiefs were, I'll just say too, the Chiefs were a team, when I was growing up, you're just like, ugh, I kind of hope they never really do that well. I mean, they weren't like the level of hate that I have for.
Denver?
No. Or the Browns. Where you're like, because when I was a kid, those guys weren't winning. They were getting pretty far, but they just
were
never winning. Oh, I hope they never.
Bernie Kosar when he was there, and
you're not going to get me on board with the Browns ever.
The dog pound.
They've just been the worst. Maybe if they get look, but what did Kansas City do? They got an awesome head coach. They have all these players that are fun to watch, and maybe if the Browns get that and not some cocky dudes at quarterback, maybe they'd be okay. All right, mine is. Very quickly here, because we've been talking about it all day on KSL News Radio and across the news world. But Gail Miller and the family foundation Gail Miller and her family foundation have made a $50 million donation, $50 million to help build a health system for children. It's the new campus that's going to be down in Lehigh for Primary Children's Hospital, and We know how much Primary Children's Hospital that's already here in our community yep. means to this community. To have a second location and have – look, and it's the biggest donation that has ever been given by the family, and it's well spent. I mean, that's why Gail Miller's very particular. The foundation is very particular about how they spend their money.
But very mindful of the community.
Yes, and very generous, obviously. $50 million, my MVP goes to Gail Miller and the Family Foundation, that they have made that $50 million donation to build the new Primary Children's Campus down there in Lehigh. So we're going to take our break. We'll come back. We got more to go. Second hour of the show next. Stay with us.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, hour number two on a Tuesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Got a lot to get through on the show. Second hour, talked a lot about the NFL and Patrick Mahomes and the Super Bowl matchup that is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers in a couple of weeks. What's the benefit of the two-week just this is before I get to the cut here, Scott. What's the benefit of the two-week window? Is it just so everybody gets healthy? Is it the run-up to it? There's no benefit to me of the two-week wait.
I think what it is there's just a lot of logistics that have to get organized for teams to get places. It's more a logistics thing.
Oh, so it's a booking hotel situation? Right. Come on.
Yeah.
It's the NFL, man.
It's not just hotels. It's just there's a lot of other arrangements and just making sure in the past when they've had the shorter weeks, there's just not a time.
They should do the college football thing.
The Super Bowl is so massive across the board. I mean, if you saw media row, it's insane.
Well, they
just that
the
alone
entire,
and all of the.
It's an entire stadium full of just booth.
Yeah.
After booth after booth.
I'm talking about all week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy what happens there and all that's involved in it. And so, yeah. But from a player's perspective, I think I would go crazy
to wait that long.
Oh, I would. I think the first week you're just
too. Maybe if you didn't have somebody hurt and it's a marquee person and there's like that little bit of a chance they could get better over those couple of weeks. And
having coaches that have been through that, you know, Kyle Shanahan's been through it, Andy Reid's been through
right.
it. Knowing, because a lot of teams who haven't, they call the teams who have and they go, "How do we do this? How do we
the Rams this?" Last year, they were like, "We're here at the Super Bowl, man. We're just partying. Woo!" Yeah. Put up 3 points. All right. It's our 8:05 cut, though. We're going to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball. And, yes, they chose a couple of new Hall of Famers today. But the question is now, because as the cheating scandal starts to reach further and further out, it's not just about the teams that won those major or those World Series on the back of cheating. It's about the teams that didn't win because of the cheating. It's the 8:05 cut. We're going to talk about the old Dodgers.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so the LA City Council, which, you know, the LA
consists
City
of people from LA.
Yeah.
100%. There is a bias.
There's a bias there. Yeah. But also, it's not the most. It's not the smartest group of folks, I don't think, because this is – but that's neither here nor there. If you want to make an impact on a group that you represent, you bring up a resolution like this that has been unanimously voted on by the L.A. City Council, which makes no difference, of course, in Major League Baseball, but still, they make an interesting point. The L.A. Council has voted today officially, unanimously, that Major League Baseball should award the Dodgers – the 2017 and 2018 World Series championship rings that were awarded to the cheater Astros and the probably cheater Boston Red Sox in 2018, as the report is going to come out.
The more I've thought about this, Alex.
Both teams have fired their coaches because of the scandal.
The more I think about it, the more I hear about it, the more upset it makes me.
Cheating itself, or that the Dodgers didn't win
no,
the title?
No, I think that the Dodgers, I agree with them. I'd be infuriated if I knew that this was going on and I had an opportunity to win a World Series. I just think of Clayton Kershaw, who is amazing. I mean, he's unhittable, and then magically he all of a sudden just isn't quite the same playing these two teams. I would be really curious to really go back and study this, to have that advantage, to know what the pitch is going to be before it's ever thrown, is massive. And I don't care what you say. You want to call it betting on baseball. You want to call it juicing the, you know, your bat, juicing right. your body.
Steroids,
cheating
yeah.
is cheating. And it's not in segments. You know, this whole thing, Pedro Martinez came out and said, man, I'm just so offended at the guy who blew this thing up.
Told on his team.
Because,
yeah.
you know, he's now with another team. He was willing to accept a championship before. Maybe the guy got a conscience, you know, whatever. I mean, you can't just – I don't care. It's cheating is cheating. It doesn't matter in what form, in what way.
Look, I'm all for –
and I would be furious.
I would be furious if I was
the Dodgers.
And I'm all for taking the championships away from the teams that cheated. But I don't think awarding it to the team – I don't think it's like the Olympics where they're like, well, the second best time gets the gold medal – because they didn't finish.
Why
you know
not?
What I mean? Because they didn't win those games.
Well, they didn't win them because they cheated to win them.
I know, but this is also, I don't know.
We just won't give out a trophy to anybody.
I will not just say, and look, if you're Dodgers fans, backing into a world championship like this, you don't feel good about that either.
I don't care.
No, they don't. There's no way.
Yes, because you're going to feel vindicated. You're going to say, that's right. Justice was served.
We should have won. What is going to be written on? Okay, what's written on the World Series rings then that you get?
World champion.
Asterisk.
There's no asterisk.
I was going to say, the real champions, right? I don't know. I mean, I just don't
think. Honest, true, Chase, benevolent
the
champions.
Boy Scout champion. No, I just think that the biggest deal about this to me is that those teams, I mean, you get exactly how these teams know that it went
Why
down
wouldn't you want
when they fire
Alex.
Their coaches. Because just put it as a black mark in the rule books. I'm not doing it because I don't like the Dodgers or something, but or in the record books.
Yeah.
This needs to be.
You're not a Dodgers fan, are you?
No, it's not even about that. I feel. No. You know I hate teams when I hate teams. But the Dodgers, I have nothing really against them.
But don't – okay.
If it happened to my Seahawks, if the Seahawks could be in the Major League Baseball, no. If it happened to my Mariners
– Have you ever had anyone steal from you?
Yes.
And how does it make you feel?
Really badly.
Right.
But
and,
if they stole from me and then I didn't go, I need to be
– But wouldn't you love to be vindicated?
Wouldn't
you love to find them?
What does
them?
That mean? Restoring those things that they stole from me?
You tell me. Yeah, vindicated.
Okay. I got my car broken into a few years ago. Right,
and you just feel violated.
Right, stole my computer, my work computer. I had a bunch of work stuff on it.
Right.
The Salt Lake County Sheriff called me up like a year later and like, we found your computer. And it was all erased and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? They returned the computer back to me like, here you go, man. I was like, awesome, thanks. And I got it back. I opened it up and I was like, this thing's gross. And I handed it back to our IT department here. And I was like, I don't want this. This is disgusting. I already got one. I already moved on.
Probably the computer I got. I got your old.
You got my old gross stolen computer. So that's
what
I'm saying.
You don't know who they were.
No, never found out who they were.
But would you feel better if you knew who they were?
No.
And justice was
served? That wouldn't help me at all.
You're lying.
There's not, like,
I can look at
what
your
would that
eyes
have done?
You're
lying. What would that have done? All they told me was we found it in a storage unit with a bunch of other stolen stuff, with a bunch of other stolen World Series rings.
I would want vindication.
But see, that vindication is different than other people getting punished.
But that's
doesn't.
But that's
you getting a ring that you didn't really win.
Yes, you
is
you,
not. You didn't win it.
You got to the Super Bowl. The other team cheated, and therefore you won.
You back into a Super Bowl.
I don't care.
This is, I do, and those players do.
Well,
there's
don't.
No way they feel fantastic about this. Tell me about when you won the Super Bowl. Well, what happened was Grandpa didn't win the Super Bowl. The
Have
other
you
team
never
cheated.
Seen Uncle Rico? Man, if Coach would have kept me in, if this, if that.
Can you imagine your kids going, Dad, you are truly a Super Bowl champion because that team cheated. And they did beat you by 3 touchdowns, but they cheated. And when they found out about it, that's cool that you got your world. Show me how you did in the Super Bowl.
Okay, I was,
well, we got
I
the
was
trash
playing,
beat out of us
I was
they
playing,
were juicing.
I was playing Little League Baseball. And we played a team from Corvallis, Oregon, mm-hmm. and they killed us. And I looked at, and they were all a foot taller than we were.
Right.
And they
this
had
is the old,
they
this
had,
is the old Dominican Republic team.
They
that
had
came to
mustaches,
the Little League
World. And it's like every time they hit the ball, they hit it out of the park.
Right.
And I went home so dejected and demoralized. They got on to the next round. They found out they were a year older than we were,
or three.
And I was furious because I felt like I got ripped.
Did they
off.
Award you guys to go on to the tournament?
Well, no, because it was late.
Yeah,
it was later on in the year.
Plus, you guys didn't earn anything.
We did.
By the other team cheating and beating you.
But if that team
hadn't
been there, we would have won. I know we would have.
Oh, really?
Oh, I know we would have. I have no question.
So if another American League team
we'd won
got to
the
World Series against the Dodgers, that's the whole thing is, if another American League team had gotten there instead of the Astros, would the Dodgers have beat them? The answer is we have no idea. And that's why you can't give the Dodgers the championship. You can't do it. The LA City Council is going to start doing – they're already getting the parade route figured out for where they're going to go through and award them. I will say, though.
I'd take a ring if I was
the Dodgers.
It is
pretty sad. They could have been back-to-back.
I'd take a ring if I was the Dodgers.
But you said it too. Clayton Kershaw. Think about that. This is a guy who has been amazing and on top of his game more than any other pitcher maybe in all of Major League Baseball, arguably, in the postseason. He's been tough. He's been hit off of. They've been hitting off of him. And then you go – well, is it because they were cheating, or is it because he just has the yips in the playoffs? We don't know. All right. Bunch of cheaters, man. Let's take a break here. When we come back, speaking of the Baseball Hall of Fame, you got a couple new members today in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Very particular about who they pick. About who they pick to go into the Hall. Two members of this class going to the Hall of Fame. But which Hall of Fame, if you could have your druthers, which Hall of Fame would you want to be at? Scott, throw out that you were in the NFL for all those years. What Hall of Fame would you want to be a part of? We'll talk about it next. Right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott, lots of NFL talk. It's good for the guy who's the former NFL quarterback today. We've got a lot of NFL talk. A couple of weeks of NFL talk, too, walking up to the Super Bowl.
You talk NFL?
You love talking NFL, bro.
He speaks multiple languages. He speaks NFL.
The Mahomes play was amazing, and his just overall performance this last week was great. But, like, are you impressed overall by this NFL playoffs? And is this is this 49ers team? Like, you were talking about something that kind of.
I really don't. I'm not crazy about the 49ers being in there.
That's the thing is I was you were talking about what you want to see in the NFL is just the top of the top of the top notch everything. Best defenses, best like individual players all over the place. They're just guys who'll make crazy plays in there. And
so if you took all the guys in the NFC who could have been in the Super Bowl, like Drew Brees, Russell Wilson would be the top guys for me.
So it's all about quarterbacks for you.
Yeah. Is there anything else?
Is anybody else on the field? I saw Patrick Mahomes running and 11 guys chasing him, but I didn't see other people there.
You saw what Patrick Mahomes could do in a game. And these elite quarterbacks have that ability to just have a massive impact on the game. Russell Wilson, the way he played with very little in the playoffs. I mean, if he has anything, if he has just any of his guys healthy, you know, where does that change for them? I mean, they could be back in a Super Bowl, and I would love to watch a Patrick Mahomes Russell Wilson Super Bowl. I'd love to watch a Patrick Mahomes Drew Brees Super Bowl. I'm not really crazy about a Jimmy Garoppolo Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl. I'm just not. I mean, there's some intrigue in the matchup. Sure, it's great, but I just want to see those marquee players. Maybe I'm snobbish.
But that's something.
That's what you want to watch.
If you're the 49ers, though, that's like your – that's the thing that you take to the – to like the – you know, that bank of, oh, no one's giving us the credit. People don't like Jimmy Garoppolo. They think we shouldn't be here. So that's that locker room, like that's that bulletin board material, like people don't think that we're good enough.
Hope that it becomes motivational, but you wonder after hearing it over and over for the next two weeks – if you almost make it a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I guess we shouldn't have been here.
I've just heard it so much that it's just kind of that's the way it is. And that's a real thing. And so for me, that's what would be hard as a player is to – you just have to tune all that stuff out. But when you get there to the Super Bowl, I mean, it's just question after question after question.
And they're dumb questions,
and
too.
And it just gets –
the circus of people asking questions. They're like, what potatoes do you like? You know, just like it ends up being –
Buffalo Bills, they were so sick of hearing about, like, if you lose this Super Bowl, it will be the fourth Super Bowl you've lost in a row.
Right.
And they heard that over and over and over and over again.
30-13, and still couldn't get it done.
It impacted them in a big way.
All right, where are we going to go on this thing? Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring this one up. Hall of Fame. So Derek Jeter and Larry Walker, your two newest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. in Cooperstown, New York. It's great. It's amazing. But is it the most? Is it the most prestigious of all the Hall of Fames? What about the James Naismith Hall of Fame? You become
Basketball Hall of Fame.
The Basketball Hall of Fame. What's that eye roll? What was that about? I rolled the NBA. Because they don't just do the NBA. They do the basketball, like overall Basketball Hall of Fame.
I don't even know when they have it. It's always like, oh, and by the way, we just had the Naismith Hall of Fame, whoever. It seems like anyone can get in there, and it makes no sense to me. And it
seems like anybody can get in there. Come on.
Okay, I'll give you a name. Grant Hill.
Okay. Yeah.
Grant Hill was inducted. And I'm like, Grant Hill was inducted in the Hall of Fame? I mean, Grant Hill was an okay professional basketball player.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he wasn't a...
Yeah, he was awesome as a...
He was awesome. He was awesome at Duke. He was an amazing college basketball player. Maybe one of the best of all time college basketball players.
Do you know where the... know where the Hall of Fame is, the Basketball Hall of Fame?
I know baseball's in Cooperstown.
Right.
I know.
Just think of where, because basketball is.
I want to say upstate New York somewhere.
It was invented in.
A peach basket.
That's right. In Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's right.
That's where the Hall of Fame is.
Yeah.
And
I knew that, but my seniorness just.
Oh, you had a senior moment?
I have a lot of those.
But you can't call it that. You got to call it an NFL moment. Oh, I had a little, I don't know who's talking here.
Even baseball is like
baseball's amazing. Are you kidding me?
It's amazing. The Hall of Fame,
the Baseball Hall of Fame's amazing.
No, it's not.
I think because I'm a football guy too. Like I love football. It's the
NFL
most important
Hall
thing
of Fame and the way they do it, the whole weekend, the speeches, the whole event.
See, now that's turned into garbage for me.
Nobody does it better than the NFL.
That's turned into garbage for me.
The best part,
don't look like them at all.
They make the bus here in Utah.
That's fine.
Did you know that?
And I don't want to offend the person who makes the bus here.
And he listens to the show every
night. No, he
does. I'm just telling you, he totally does.
I'm just saying they don't look
like
them.
We should go on a road trip. It's here locally. I can get us in.
I want to see where the bus are made here, but I also want to see.
I'm not going to the Hall of Fame.
Why can't we go to Canton, Ohio, bro?
I guess we could.
They have that juicer.
I just don't.
The building looks like a juicer, doesn't it?
Right, the juicer and the blockheaded guy. The Hall of Fame looks like David Baker, who's the president of the Hall of Fame. To me, there's no question that the NFL is. But the best part of the whole weekend is when they interview them on the game when they're on the sideline, and they've been celebrating a lot.
Oh, and they're kind of wasted.
And they're kind of free flowing.
Okay,
in their thought process.
Okay, there you go.
That's the best.
So you'd rather be in the NFL Hall of Fame of all of them. What about hockey? What about
I've heard that the lunch they have on Friday, that only the players are in.
Oh, okay.
And the conversation that goes on there, and no one talks about what's actually said.
Can't talk about it.
But they do say it is one of the most emotional things that you hear as a player. And you know at that lunch when you hear that, you go,
I made it.
I'm in something extremely special.
In terms of a fraternity.
Yeah. I mean,
in terms of history, though, baseball is the longest history. I mean, that's a Hall of Fame.
Mike Haynes, who played for the Raiders and he played for the New England Patriots, he was here last summer. I'm not dropping names, but I played golf with him. He goes, you know what's really cool? He goes, I'm on this Hall of Fame committee, and I'm on the phone, and everyone reports in. And it's literally like a who's who list of guys reporting in. And he goes, I'm sitting on the phone, and I got chills. Like, I'm having a conversation with all these guys. It's a cool thing. Sorry, I can't.
No, I get it.
Get back. My second, though, is the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
In Colorado Springs.
That actually probably would be
they
pretty
actually
cool.
Induct, like, animals.
Oh, no, that's kind of cool.
Right, yeah, with people. Like, this really, like, famous
so bulls. Is Fu Manchu in there?
Probably. I'll have to look him up.
See, I think for me, I think just for
Fu
the
Manchu,
history,
he was in, wasn't he in the Stir Crazy?
I don't know.
I think so.
With a ball named Fu Manchu. That's all I know it from. Scott, from the history perspective, Baseball Hall of Fame trumps the football one. I think Cooperstown is way more. I think it's way more cool to be in Cooperstown than it would be to be in Canton, Ohio. I mean, it's close.
Why?
But,
Please explain why.
I'm just telling you, history-wise, I think baseball has a longer history, has a cooler kind of mystique to it. The Hall of Fame itself. That's all. Look, there's no Babe Ruth. There's no Babe Ruth in football. There is none. There's nobody who is a Lou Gehrig or a Babe Ruth of baseball. Or, I mean, of football. Name one person who comes to that level in football that there isn't, like Babe Ruth was to baseball.
Are you serious?
Who? Oh,
I can name
100
guys.
Him.
No. Ray Nitschke.
No.
Walter
nope.
Payton.
Nope.
Yes. Easily. Red Grange.
All right, we're taking the break. We got news, traffic, and weather.
Jim Brown.
Not like that.
Bodacious, Crooked Nose, Red Rock, Old Speck, Oscar, and Tornado. Those are the bowls.
We'll come
that
back.
Have been-
Hey, what's the best possible Super Bowl, though? And what's it going to be? What's the best result going to be for you if you're a fan watching the game? Plus a two-minute drill. Stay with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.